Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. We're coming at you once again from the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, right on the 50-yard line of the Southside Irish Parade. Brought to you by Madden Funds, Local 150, Sheehy Funeral Home, Cork and Kerry, Fox's Pizza, Flood Brothers, and Guinness is good for you. This is show number 179. We have an old friend on the show who's been on before. Sergeant Sue Kenny, Chicago Police Department, still on duty.
Yes.
And just back from safari. But before we get into that, let me just tell you a little bit about Sue. She's a sergeant. She's been on the job for 23 years. She received several honorable mentions, department accommodations, life-saving award, and was recently awarded the Chicago Leadership Award. She's worked in 08 District several places. I don't know what a lot of this means. She actively volunteers her free time with the peer support program. That's for officers who have PTSD and stuff like that. Is that right? Yeah. So we need that. She published a book on her dog Loki, which she just gave me a copy of. She's an animal lover, big time. Your horse is Holster.
Holster.
Yeah. And so she has Holster. She has her dog Loki, and Princess is the other dog. She enjoys traveling, I'll bet, and just spent 10 days between South Africa and Botswana viewing wildlife. Okay. So you took a 10-day vacation.
Correct.
Now, how did you find out about this? Were you searching and said, I want to do something crazy?
So when I was a kid, we're going back to 1985, and I'm reading Horse Illustrated, which is actually a magazine.
Horse Illustrated, not Sports Illustrated.
Not Sports Illustrated. Yeah. Horse. It's all about horses.
So you've always been into horses.
So I've been into horses forever.
Yeah. Billy just said, great swimsuit edition. That's funny.
So in the magazine, there was an advertisement, and there's photos of individuals riding on horseback next to giraffes, elephants, lions, tigers. And I said to myself, someday I am taking this trip.
Yeah.
I am going there, and I'm doing this trip.
Good for you. So it was a lifetime dream.
A lifetime dream.
And you went by yourself.
I went by myself.
That took guts.
It does take a little bit of guts.
Yeah.
22 hours of travel each way.
Unbelievable.
And
tell us, what's the route?
So you start off and you land in Johannesburg. You meet up. It's actually with a tour
group. South Africa.
South Africa. So you meet up with your tour group, and
so everybody's there, and at that point, how many people in the group?
So we had, including myself, there were six of us.
That's all.
That's it.
Yeah.
So they take a maximum of eight.
Oh, really? That's it. Yeah. And so they said, "Here we are." And were these couples, or what was the deal with them?
It happened to work out great. It was all females.
Oh, wow.
I was the oldest. I was kind of the matriarch of the bunch.
Well, you're not that old. Yeah.
I consider myself old next to them. They're in their, their 20s and 30s.
Wow.
So it was four girls from France and one girl from England, and I was the only American.
Do they know you're a police officer?
They learned that on the trip. So I think it was at dinner one night, we were finally discussing everyone's work and careers, in their own countries, because it is different. And once I said I was a sergeant for the police department, everyone stood up and they saluted me.
Oh, cool.
After that, which was kind of fun.
Now, is there a lot of wine and stuff at these things?
So, Mike, you would love it. It was unlimited wine, unlimited beverages, whenever, starting at breakfast all the way until you went to bed.
And they hook you up with the horses and everything, and
they do. They match your. They do a survey to match your riding ability the horses that
and
they
have.
And
how long you've been riding horses?
So I started riding when I was 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's been
many
years.
So you're a very experienced horsewoman.
Yes.
Yeah. Equestrian.
Equestrian.
Yeah. Okay, so did you ride the same horse over the whole trip or what?
I rode two different horses because we went to two different... I had a horse in South Africa that I fell in love with, and yeah. I would love to ship him here. He was absolutely amazing. Yeah. And then I had another horse in Botswana that I rode, and it, again, he was another amazing horse, too.
What's the difference between South Africa and Botswana? I thought it sounds like the same thing to me.
Right now, it's about 30 degrees. It was warmer in Botswana South Africa.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But are they... Is it like a... subset of Africa, or is it its own country, Botswana?
It's its own country, believe it or not. When you go to Africa, South Africa, you have to check in through customs, and then you have to check out of the country through customs, and then check into Botswana and check out of Botswana.
Oh, wow.
It's very interesting how the different countries work.
Did you have to get a lot of shots and everything before you went?
I did.
Yeah. And like how many... Is somebody shepherding you guys through all this?
So the nice thing with going with a tour group is you're set up with guides, and your guides at each camp stay with you. They serve you your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, and then they're also with you the entire day while you're horseback riding.
And how many different camps did you go through?
So the first, we hit 1, 2, 3. We were at 4 different camps.
Now, I saw some of the pictures. These are basically... luxury tents. I mean, it's nothing. It's not in a hotel or anything. You're in a tent, right?
You're in a tent.
Yeah. Wow. And do you have a private room in the tent, or how does it work?
Each tent is set up with 2 single beds, and then the rear of the tent actually has a sink, a shower that's outdoors, very outdoors.
Yeah.
No roof. You're showering with the stars.
Yeah.
And possibly wildlife at some point. And then you have your bathroom, your toilets out there as well.
Wow. What are the mosquitoes like out there?
You know, I was, because it is winter when I went.
What do you mean? It was just 10 days? Yeah. It was winter then?
It's their winter season.
Oh, okay.
So in South Africa, I woke up one morning, I think it was 40 degrees.
Oh, that's cold.
It was cold.
Yeah. In a tent, it's
in
cold.
In a tent.
Yeah, yeah. And so every day they say, oh, we're going to go out and ride the horses, and here's where we're going and what we're going to do. And
so basically, the guides have a plan. They kind of know where the wildlife is.
Yeah.
So being on horseback, they have different routes that you're going to take. So they prep us at breakfast, where we're going, how many hours we'll be in the saddle. Then they give us an idea.
They get rough after a while, I would think. Yeah.
Then at lunch, they prep us for the afternoon ride, what's going to happen, and where we're going for that one as well.
How was the weather?
The weather, like I said, in South Africa was cold. We had a couple days of rain. The first day I was there, beautiful shot of the rainbow with the wildebeest and the ostrich in the background. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we ride in all sorts of weather. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And then Botswana was 85 during the day.
Oh, boy.
It got warm, and the night was about 50. You were in a sweatshirt by 7 o'clock every night.
Yeah. I'll bet you're exhausted by 7 o'clock, too, huh?
I was exhausted by 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
I felt like a train wreck.
And so there's these 6 people, all gals, and so you just got to... Yeah, sounds like fun. You had fun, right?
I had... It was the time of my life. Just to meet everybody from different cultures and then have horses in common with everyone.
Everybody was into horses. Yeah.
That just makes the trip.
Yeah. And what was your horse's name, the one that you liked so much?
So the one I liked so much was India.
India, yeah.
Yes, he was a pretty big horse, too.
Yeah. Bigger than Holster?
Oh, yeah. Bigger than Holster.
Yeah. And are you guys in a single file when you're doing this, or how does it work?
So when we were at the first reserve, which is more monitored...
It's
a game reserve.
Yeah.
So nothing's hunted or... use for anything, but it is monitored, and what is in there is kind of tracked and breeding purposes and all of that. So we were single file for all of it.
Yeah.
You know, when we hit Botswana, it's a little bit more open space. It's not tracked. You were out in the wild.
Yeah.
You have to be escorted to your tents at night because there's lions that come through there.
Holy cow.
We woke up the one morning, and I'm like, what are these footprints? A giraffe came through.
Wow.
There's warthogs in there, and you can hear all these animals all night long. you know, you can hear their calls, their pack calls, the hyena, the jackal. It's pretty incredible just to sit there and listen to that.
The guides that are with you, are they armed?
They are armed with a gun that shoots blanks.
Well, that's just to scare off the animals?
Just to scare them off.
Oh, wow.
So we do go through a short orientation.
Well, as a police officer, were you armed?
I had a knife.
Oh, okay.
That's all I could get through through customs and on my checked baggage. I had one knife, and that was it.
Okay. You could have taken down a 727 with a knife.
Right.
Yeah. So is there any galloping?
So about every 15 or 20 minutes, you're galloping for 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, you're going.
You're going.
They call it cantering, but
yeah.
At one point we were galloping, a lot of it.
Did you see any hippopotamuses?
I did, and yeah. I learned that they are one of the more aggressive animals.
Oh, really?
And we had to be very careful when we were riding that close to them.
Sure, you don't want to piss them off.
Right, they will come after you.
Oh, wow, yeah. And you took a lot of photos, but what about any movies? Did you take any video while you were there?
You know, video, it's very...
Well, how do you do that while you're on a horse?
So a couple of the girls from France, they actually had GoPros on their helmet. So they videotaped a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they were able to share it. You know, we're all Facebook friends now.
Oh, that's great. So they're going to send you this
stuff. So they've been tagging me in some of the posts, and you can actually see some of the stuff they're riding, how fast it was, and all the dust coming up behind
the
horses.
Yeah. Huh. You should make a little movie of this. That would be pretty cool. Yeah. So what was the highlight? Coolest part of the whole trip? You're 10 days, right?
10 days.
Nonstop.
Nonstop. Yeah. Coming home exhausted. I think, you know, there's really nothing that stood out. I mean, seeing the wildlife in their natural environment, you know, coming across a leopard that dragged an impala up in the tree and was feeding off of it.
And
seeing
you guys
a lion,
to see that.
Yes, with her, a lioness with her baby cubs interacting, and you're 6 feet away and she's
6 feet. Wow.
She's just interacting with her babies and, I mean, how lovable and how kind the lioness is. And then the other spectrum, you go and see the lion, and he's just killed a zebra, and he's feeding
chowing
off the
down.
Zebra. Right?
Holy cow.
I mean, in every part of what's out there in that ecosystem is utilized by an animal. So whatever the lion doesn't finish, another animal comes in and takes over.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
But you never felt in danger.
No.
There's a picture of you with this leopard, basically. And it looks like a house cat, the way it's just kind of laying there and you're petting it, and, you know. But those are domestic. They're not domesticated. They're kind of like used to people being around, or what's the deal?
So one of the houses that we actually went to visit in the Bellevue Reserve, the gentleman rescued two serval leopards, which are a small type of leopard. They were in a bad situation. So the male that we were all petting and the photo that I'm in with, his name was Scooby.
Scooby.
And then there was a female in there as well. Her name was Serena.
Uh-huh.
But she was a bit more aggressive towards everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, she blocked the gate for us to leave, and we had to call somebody on the other side to
get her to move out of the way.
Move out of the way.
Oh, wow.
And she was definitely going to harm someone or attack somebody at some point. So it kind of made us all a little bit tense in there.
Are the horses used to it, do you think?
So the horses, they're pretty incredible. They're, there's one photograph where I was so close to a zebra, I had to selfie myself with the zebra. I mean, the zebra, you know, they're within feet of you, know.
Yeah.
So they are pretty comfortable with all the wildlife that's out there.
Yeah. Is the wildlife comfortable with you guys, though?
The only ones that really had a difficult time with us were the elephant.
Oh, sure.
They can hear us. They can't always see us, but they can hear. Their hearing is
acute.
It can pick up anything, and they would hear the noise or us coming through the brush or the bushes well before they can even see us.
Oh yeah, huh. And those, how many elephants do you see? Just one at a time, or there's a flock of them? Or?
So we were parallel along a dry riverbed, and there was a whole family. So when they travel, it goes, you know, the male elephants and the female, and then the babies are at the end. So they were on the other side of the riverbed, and we were following on one side. So we're probably a good distance away.
Did they blow their horns for you at all? Hey, I haven't actually, hold on, just hold on a second. My elephant.
Mike, that was actually pretty good. You'd probably attract a couple over there if you came to Africa.
Were they giving you that thing, the old elephant?
We had one night we took out, we do a game drive, so we actually took the Jeep out to get closer you're on horseback, but sure. Let's get closer to everything and see the big cats. Yeah. And one of the elephants, we were coming up across with the Jeep. He got in front of the Jeep, and he let out a roar, flared his ears out, his tusks out, and shook his head at us and gave us the warning. And, you know, we kind of backed down a little bit, and then he moved out of the way for us to pass. So, yes.
And the six of you are all in one Jeep?
Oh, well, we were laughing. You know?
I'll bet. Yeah.
But you can get really close to a lot of the animals that way, even closer than you were on horseback.
Wow. Yeah. What time did you guys go to bed?
So,
I bet you would be tired.
The old guy.
Yeah. You know that fresh air?
Yes. I'd be exhausted.
You're up at the crack of dawn. You're up by 6 every day. It's very organized. That you're up by 6, breakfast by 6:30. You know, you're on your horse by 7. I mean, it's very on schedule.
Yeah.
So by 9, 10 o'clock at night, we were done.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, reminds me of all those old movies, The Snows of Kilimanjaro and all that stuff, and where they're, and there's always a black guy going, hum, 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 and brings you your coffee or whatever.
There was coffee delivered almost every single morning your tent.
Yeah. Well, with the other people that you met, any great stories among them that... are they there? Did you ask them? Why are you guys here? They all love the same thing.
So I had the one girl, Kate, that I hung around with from England, she actually drives a semi-truck. Her family owns a shipping company, and they ship boats for the Army. Mm. And it was her holiday, so she was spending,
she was by herself?
She was by herself.
Wow.
And she had been to the Bellevue Reserve, but has never gone to Botswana. So she was hooking up to take that extension tour with. Yeah. But then afterwards, she ended up staying another week on another reserve.
Oh, wow.
And doing some game senses with rhinoceros.
What's game senses?
So they actually, the rhinoceros is one of the hunted animals on the verge of extinction. So they're raising them more in captivity, and they also have to track them, draw blood from them.
Oh, wow.
Some are bought and sold to ship for breeding purposes elsewhere. So she was a huge part of that involvement there.
Yeah.
So this was her big reason to do the week before and then hit the game senses the week after. So she is finally home. She finally got the flight back, I think, yesterday to come back up to England. So
when you, I saw one of the planes you were on was like this little rinky dink, you know, Sky King type situation. Yeah, with like what, 3 seats in it or something?
There were actually 5, I think.
Okay, 5 seats.
5 or 6.
Yeah.
So they flew us, the Limpopo Airport was
the Limpopo?
Limpopo, along the Limpopo River in Botswana.
Yeah.
So it was interesting because they actually called our guide and said our flight was ready. If you guys can make your way over there, your pilot's here,
you know,
so you go through customs really quick, you check your baggage, they go through your luggage, you know, it's pretty informal for getting on an airplane, and then basically you walk out and get on the plane.
Yeah.
So one of the younger girls from France, she was a tad bit nervous about,
yeah,
you know, flying, and the pilot reassured her.
See, how many parachutes in this thing?
Well, that's what I saw.
Yeah, did you? I don't blame you. Yeah.
I sat in the back close to the door, so that way if we got to make a quick escape,
we're
out of there. We're gone. You know? But it was actually one of the smoother flights I've been on.
No kidding.
Yeah. And the view was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And how long was that flight?
It was about 2 hours.
Oh, no kidding.
To Johannesburg. So.
Which is a big airport.
International airport. Beautiful landing. We get there. The pilot gets out to unload our luggage. And I look and I said to the girls, I'm like, why does our pilot look like he's only 18 years old? And they all looked at me. They said, because he probably is 18.
Wow. Holy cow. Yeah.
But otherwise, it was a great flight. He did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Huh. And made friends for life with a lot of those people.
Made friends with every single one of the girls. I know they're eager to listen to the radio broadcast.
Oh, good.
And talk about, you know, they had asked for the link. And
oh, no, you kidding. Yeah,
they were, you know, I mean, it was the trip of a lifetime. And to come across so many individuals from other countries and share stories and food and everything, you know, politics, stuff like that. Every single night there was something to talk about.
What food are they... They're not serving meat or anything on this, or are they? Are they saying, tonight we're going to have, you know, broiled rhinoceros?
Every meal was home cooked.
Yeah, but what was it?
So the most exotic thing I think I've ate was, there's a small animal. It looks like it's smaller than an impala. It's called springbok.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them. Yeah, they're like
deer.
So
that was served for dinner one night.
Wow.
But most of it was chicken, beef.
Yeah.
Ribs.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ribs. Yeah. There was always something. I mean, every meal had fresh fruit, papaya. You know, breakfast was yogurt, oatmeal, eggs. I mean, it was.
What's the staff? How many people are, how many guides are with you to serve
you
guys?
So we have, the first camp we were in, the Mashtu camp, we had two guides with us. And this,
just two for six people.
For six people.
Yeah.
So you have to be an accomplished rider. They actually tell you when you're booking the trip that you should probably cross train,
get ready,
run, lift weights,
ride
as much as you can.
Get ready.
They kind of prep you on that. You need to be able to get on the horse from the ground up, you know, different stuff to get you physically ready for the trip. So they didn't have to worry about anybody's riding skills. They had to worry about where we were going mostly.
Yeah. Amazing. And that's a lot of work for two people to take care of six other people.
It is.
You know, yeah. And they're riding with you, too, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. Were they women, too?
They were all. There was two women. One was a volunteer. The camp takes on a lot of volunteers.
Oh, people just say, I'll do it for nothing?
I'll sign on for nothing.
Wow.
For tip money.
Sure.
You know? So we did have a couple girls, but most of the time we had guides that were actually, that grew up, were raised in either Botswana or Kenya or countries in Africa that were familiar with the ecological part of it. So not only were you learning about the wildlife, you were also learning about the plant life, the ground, everything that was involved. And the guides there, they actually have to be certified. They go to college.
Oh, good.
They have to take biology classes, classes in animal behavior. So it's not something that you could just say, hey, I'm going to wake up and be a guide here.
Yeah.
They actually have the knowledge behind it.
Well, now as a Chicago police officer, you know a little bit about animal behavior. Sorry. Were they all saying, you're a cop, tell us about that? Were they asking you about it? Or?
You know, not so much. One of the guides was actually a former police officer in South Africa.
Oh,
and he
no
had
kidding.
Quit.
Oh, they don't
to
mess
take,
around.
Right.
Yeah.
He had quit to take the guide job. So it was, it was, you know, that part was interesting to hear some of his stories and, you know, and walking from that walk of life to his job that he's in currently. So.
It's interesting because there's a primitive aspect to it, obviously. But you're getting back to sitting by the campfire, people talking, people sharing. You know, there's no TV or any of that. It's just simple human interaction. That's kind of cool, you know.
It is very cool.
You know, and so it may be primitive, but it's where it all started. And I envy you, you know. Not that I'm going to get on a plane to go to Botswana, but Ireland's tough enough, believe me.
Ireland was nothing after 22 hours.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah, well, what the heck? Why does it? Because you have to fly you go into the bush, basically, from the in the little plane, you know.
So, right, the little plane took us out of Botswana and back to Johannesburg. But when flying out there, we started our trip in South Africa on the South African side of the Limpopo River. That divides South Africa from Botswana.
See, I didn't know that. The Limpopo River.
Yes. Yeah.
And do they tell you about the history and geography and all that stuff?
They do. Yeah. You know, I was, my geography teacher from college would be very proud that I finally know where the Limpopo River is, and I could probably geographically put it on the map for his quizzes now. But yeah, they tell us about, you know, no one's allowed to cross it. The only thing that does cross it are the elephants. They
really?
Swim across. And they
is that like a boundary then?
It's a boundary, yes.
Oh, what is a boundary between what? South Africa
and Botswana.
Oh, the two countries, see? I didn't even know Botswana was a country, tell you. excuse me. this is amazing. So you're sitting there every night, and everybody, would they have campfires? Is that how it works?
Campfire every single night.
Yeah.
When it got really cold, they filled a hot water bottle.
And you
with hot water
yeah.
that you could take to bed with you, mm-hmm. put in your sheets, and mm-hmm. try and warm up a little bit.
Yeah,
the old-fashioned way. Water. If it was sunny that day, you got a hot shower at night.
Yeah.
If you had no sun that day, no hot shower.
Because the sun was what heated the water.
Yes.
Holy cow! Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And the food was good.
The food was excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Now, who took care of Holster and Loki while you were gone?
So Loki and Princess, they are blessed. They have the world's best dog sitter, Kathy Hunter, who does the whole
neighborhood.
Shout out to Kathy. Yes. Yeah. She took excellent care of my son, Jack. He made sure they got their walks every single day.
Oh, good for him.
And Holster, he's at his boarding barn out in Frankfurt. He's with his five other friends and
that's where he's at
all the time. So he had he had 10 days off of not riding. So he was actually thrilled to hang out with his buddies and stuff himself with hay for 10 days.
And I know that now you go riding a lot and then you come back and you're in the hot tub. Is it a hot tub? Or I see you put the you post the pictures all the time.
Yep, I go riding and I come back and I jump in the hot tub.
That's nice. Is that in your backyard?
That's right, my backyard, right out the back door.
Okay. Terrific. When you got back, you were glad to be home, though, I'm sure. But what an adventure.
I was homesick towards the end. I was looking at the last day. I was like, okay, I'm ready.
10
you
days.
Know?
That's a
I just
long
wanted
time.
A hot shower in my hot tub.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And so you now you're all friends on Facebook and everything, and you could have made friends for life, probably.
Probably.
Do you want to do it again?
I don't think I want, I'm looking into Egypt right now because they have a ride where you ride the horses out to the pyramids.
Yeah.
So I'm looking into that. So I'm hoping that these girls are, someone talked about maybe doing Greece or, because they have these riding trips. They have one in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
They have them all over the place.
Okay. So that's how you got it. It was a riding trip.
It's a riding trip.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you had to save up for the next one, obviously, but worth it, I'm sure.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Now, did they ever say to you, you said you guys would at night talk politics. The world is in a pretty crazy state right now, and you were with people from other countries. Excuse me. What's their take on all of this stuff? Is there any,
They have the same view that we have. They feel like crime has gone up in some of their areas. Gasoline, that was the biggest, because over there they buy by the liter. We buy by the gallon.
Yeah.
And it is costing, one girl she didn't have a vehicle, so she'll rent a car for a day if she needs one. She lives in downtown Paris.
Wow.
So she, was fortunate to
walk. It's like living
in
New York.
Right.
Yeah.
Or downtown Chicago. You don't need a car. You could just rent one for the day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very interesting. They're faced with the same economic issues that we're being faced with here as well.
Yeah.
It's not just us. And they're also faced with the crime issues that we're faced with. But there's, tend to be, overseas tend to be more terrorist related, more exaggerant than what we have sometimes here, although I feel like we're catching up to them.
You ain't kidding. Do you think you've learned anything there that will translate into your job here?
As far as, getting off the grid, as I call it.
That's a good way of putting
getting
it.
Getting that peacefulness and that mindset and not watching the news.
Yeah,
the one thing I noticed when I came back home, it was I have no desire to watch our news anymore.
No.
I have absolutely none. It's an embarrassment, I think, what is happening here in Chicago, what is happening in Illinois. I mean, it's just not Chicago. What's happening in the United States?
You're
it's
right.
almost embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. And the news doesn't help it either.
It doesn't.
What about, just to touch on what's going on with the police, these are tough times for the police.
It's so tough. The officers are frustrated. They're overworked. They're
no
disgruntled.
Days off, all that, yeah.
No
yeah.
days off. They miss their families. It's affecting their children. It
the
affects
morale,
their spouses.
Yeah.
The morale. It affects everything. You know, at least they're talking about it amongst each other, because that's all they kind of have is their partners, the regular, people that they work with on their watches to discuss it with. It's just horrible. Not
it
to have
is.
A day off the entire summer.
It's They're insane.
Working. It's insane. How do you make or enforce somebody to continue to work and also make split-second decisions while they're working that affect life or death decisions sometimes? I mean, it's how do you expect somebody under that kind of pressure to function, how they should, according to department rules?
And I don't want to get you in trouble here or anything, but you're with the peer support, so all the cops are feeling it, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. That's sad. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? What's going
to... I'd like to think that there is, but it just seems like this has gone on way longer than it should have. You know, we've gone through some bad times on the department and some difficult times, but I feel like we've gotten through it or we've gotten over that hump where this one just seems like... You know, the hump was there, and it just keeps going downhill.
Yeah, it gets worse and worse and worse, and all this defund the police and all that. And the media is terrible, you know. Would you recommend the trip as, like, therapy to other officers and stuff? I mean...
You know, if that's your form of therapy, sure, I recommend it.
It's done you some good, I would say. You look... happy and relaxed and
I am. I'm very happy, very relaxed coming back. Unfortunately I'm on midnights I'm at, so that's not always the happy and relaxed.
I can
but
imagine.
You know, it's a job and I have a couple years left and I can, hopefully collect my pension checks.
Well, you stay safe. That's the important thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any final words about Africa or Botswana?
I definitely recommend it. Take that trip. You know, it is a long airplane ride over there. If it's something on your bucket list, do your bucket list now. Don't wait until you retire to do something. Do it while you can.
How about a shout out to your lady friends who were on the trip with
you? So to all my girls in France, Geraldine and, Kate over in England and... Sylvie and Ginny and Orion over there in France. Hello, I hope you guys are safe. And to all my friends in Ireland that I still have,
Global Irish Radio.
Right.
Every Saturday
so I
night.
Still have all my friends in Ireland.
Yeah.
Hi, I hope all is well over there, and hope to be back soon. And definitely to my family, my mom and dad, and my brothers.
See, and they worried all out about it. Have you seen them since you got back?
So I haven't. I have plans. I'm going out to see my parents tomorrow. They were very, very worried about me taking big... I don't think my mom slept for 10 days.
Yeah.
My brothers, not so much. They thought it was kind of comical when I explained that I was going to Africa. They actually took out their phones and started playing Africa from Toto and then a couple other select songs, But yeah, I think my parents worried the entire time I was gone, and they were grateful once I touched ground here in Chicago.
Well, I got to tell you, I think it's been great for you.
It has been. It's been amazing.
I can see it just in your demeanor. You're happy, and it's terrific. So we salute you, Susie Q.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for everything you do. Stay safe. God bless you. And come back and see us soon.
Would love to. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks so much. We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio and be right back after these messages from our friends. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.ie.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. Still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's Pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
And we are back on Hibernian Radio. Oh, she was sensational. Susie Q, Sue Kenny, Sergeant Sue Kenny. That was a terrific story. Hey, everybody. I want to remind everybody, this Monday night is the annual Rib Fest and Awards night. Monday, June 13th. Is that Monday? Yeah. At the Chicago FOP Hall, Lodge 7, 1412 West Washington Boulevard. It's a terrific, terrific time. I'm going with my sons. Probably take my grandkids. Barbecue ribs along with roasted sweet corn salads. Full menu of icy cold beverages. You know what I'm talking about. Plus the whiskey tasting, the Larkin and Moran brothers are going to play, the bagpipes and drums of the Emerald Society are on the schedule. It's a great, great, great night. Monday, June 13th starts at 7. It's only $20. And I can't tell you enough how much fun it is because I'm looking forward to it. So we'll hope to see you there this Monday night at the annual Ribfest and Awards night, a meeting of the Emerald Society of Illinois, the Irish American Police Association, at the FOP Hall, 1412 West Washington Boulevard. See you there. Okay, I want to remind everybody that we're going to Ireland. Hooley is calling you to Ireland. October 19th to the 27th, we're going with the lovely, the talented, all Ireland fiddling, dancing, and lilting champion, Emer Arkins. She's the darling girl from Clare. She's going with us. We're also going to bring some cops from the Chicago Garda Pipes and Drums. We're doing three nights in Cork City, and then we're going to Dingle, probably the most beautiful location in Ireland, for three nights. We're staying at the Skellig Hotel, which I've been at many times. You will love it. And then two more nights at the Fitzpatrick Castle in Killiney, just outside of Dublin. We're going to have a blast. Please join us. It's $2,100, land only. But if you notice as you go through the Irish American News, that's the cheapest price of any trip. And we're going with Specialized Travel, which is my pal, Derry Cronin. They've been in the business a long, long time, and they own Cronin's Coaches. So they know what they're doing. And I've been to Ireland 11 times, and they are the best. So if you want to go, get in touch with Emma or Brian at 1-800-664-7474. Tell them Hooley sent you. Or send an email to emma.spillane at special-ireland.com. Check out our ad in the Irish American News with all the information. And if you want, just send me an email, mikehoolahan7@gmail.com, and I'll send you the full itinerary. You're going to love it. Emer is just terrific. Her dad was the mayor of Ennis. Her brother's a musician, comes from music. But you got to hear her lilt. I don't know if you know what lilting is, but it's just terrific. It's like Irish rapping. And she's so cool, and she's going to be with us for the whole trip. So please join us, just like the trip that we just heard about that Susie Q took. This is our trip to Ireland, and it gets you right in touch with your roots and everything. So please join us. 1-800-664-7474. Tell them Hooley sent you. Okay. Any other plugs? You know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, look at the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, or any of those great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says to me, "Hey, Hooley." who died. Judith Marie Julian, age 75. She was the wife of 50 years to Gary M. Julian and a devoted mother of Aaron Marie Julian. God rest her soul, Judith Marie Julian. John Barham, Barham, B-A-R-H-A-M, 78, Tinley Park. He will be greatly missed by his loving daughter Bridget, brothers Michael and Fred, sister-in-law Anita and Maureen Fleming. He's preceded in death by his beloved wife of 51 years, Janet. After graduating from South Shore High School, John proudly served for 4 years in the Air Force as a staff sergeant. He drove for Sinclair Gas for 10 years, making him the go-to guy to call for directions anywhere in the city. He's a volunteer fireman, fire chief in Riverdale, and a superintendent of the Riverdale Public Works for 32 years. Following his retirement, he enjoyed driving the sports team bus for St. Lawrence High School Vikings. So John never met a stranger he didn't know. He's an avid fisherman, golfer, and Northwestern football fan, hosting some of the best tailgates for 20-plus years. But he may be best known for his love of St. Patrick's Day. His, Janet, and Bridget annual parties are legendary and brought together family and friends from near and far. God rest his lovely soul, John Barham, 78. And Thomas Furlong, age 85, husband of Rosaline, father of Tammy, Tom, Todd, and Taryn. He was the uncle of 25, proud U.S. Army veteran, pipe fitter, member of Union 597 in Chicago. God rest his soul, Tom Furlong. And Jimmy Coyne, who was the dad of Plumbers Local 130, general manager, our pal Jimmy Coyne. His dad was 94, beloved husband of 71 years to Geraldine. Loving father of Karen, James, was married to Michelle, and Nancy. Cherished grandfather of Christopher, Courtney, devoted great-grandfather of Carolyn, dear brother of the late Mary Coltree, Catherine McDermott, and Margaret Birmingham, fond uncle, cousin, and friend to many. Proud 74-year member of the Plumbers Union Local 130. God rest his lovely soul, Jim Coyne, 94, the father of our pal Jimmy Coyne. And we did that one, right? I thought I had a she-he in here. Where's she? Judith Marie Julian. She was waked, and the funeral arrangements were handled by she-he's, where all the right people go.
And finally, we couldn't let this go by without bringing this out. With tremendous sadness, we announced the passing of our leader, company patriarch, and the last of the original Flood brothers, William K. Mike Flood. Mike, the last of the third generation of Floods active in the business, passed peacefully last weekend, surrounded by his family, to assume his foreseen place in the hereafter with his beloved wife, Carol. Mike leaves behind an unmatched legacy as a waste industry pioneer and leader. More importantly, Mike leaves a life lived to the fullest as a father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. Mike was a devout Catholic and had unending faith in God, as faithfully attended the liturgy, and he found solace in the rosary. Generations 4, 5, and future generations of the Flood family will continue to be strengthened by the lessons of Mike's leadership, his faith, his beautiful stories, and his endlessly positive attitude. We hold these lessons that Mike gifted to us in our hearts as we honor his hard-won legacy each day in our work here at Flood Brothers. Mike Flood was a man who was truly larger than life, a man who made everybody feel like the only person in the room when he spoke to them, a man that loved his company and his employees fiercely, and a leader we will miss profoundly. We take solace knowing that although there is a hole in our world where Mike Flood once lived, his spirit will live on in all of us every day. God rest his lovely soul, Mike Flood.
One more thing before we close up the crypt. There's a situation right now where a cop killer, they're trying to release this guy from jail. This is a request for help to keep the convicted murderer of a Chicago Police Department Officer Brian Strauss in prison for his full sentence. Inmate and gang member Hector Delgado has tried to get clemency. He was out on probation when he murdered the Chicago police officer. Officer Strauss was gunned down in 2001 while working part of a tactical team on the Southwest Side. He's a violent felon, convicted by a jury of his peers who, instead of serving life without parole, could be out enjoying himself in his 30s and probably will take out a gun and shoot somebody again. So a Cook County victims advocate represents the interests of the family Officer Strauss left behind. Please email her at jill.thornton@cookcountyill.gov to let her know you support the family and want Delgado to serve his full sentence. Once again, email jill.thornton@cookcountyill.gov and tell him to keep this piece of crap in jail. Okay, we're going to close up the crypt. We'll be right back from jokes and Hooletown right after these messages from our friends. Stick around.
Cops and firefighters risk their lives almost every day, so they shouldn't have to risk their hard-earned dough in any get-rich schemes or the blather of old pals in the real estate biz. And good luck trying to figure out the stock market or cryptocurrency or even economics 101 when you come home exhausted at the end of your shift. What you need is somebody you can trust, and they're in short supply these days. Hey, take it from me. I've lost fortunes in showbiz because I thought I was smarter than everybody else, and I wound up bankrupt and broke. It took me a long time to decide to find a friend I could trust who had my family's best interests at heart. That friend was my late pal, Joe Madden. I met him as he passed the basket at St. Luke's, and I'd turn my pockets inside out as he came to my pew, and I'd say, "I'm tapioca." He laughed, but didn't stop him from supporting my films and showbiz endeavors over the years. Joe Madden had my back. A few years before he died, Joe started Madden Funds with his sons, Mike and Danny. The Maddens and Houlihans have been pals for a long, long time. They can advise the best path for your investments. Madden Funds will have your back too. Need advice on your 401k or your rollover IRA? You can trust Madden Funds to help you protect and grow your investments now and in your family's future. Go to their website, maddenfunds.com, or call Mike or Dan Madden at 708-848-3200 and tell them Hooli sent you. Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by to Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Deep, deep in deep, the south deep, side deep. Of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All
deep.
The way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks. Where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Son? Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
Crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as...
Hooli Town.
Welcome to Hooli Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooli Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Well, welcome to Hooli Town. So great to be back here. And thanks to our pal Greg Holloman for the great intro. Couple of quick jokes. A woman arrives home from work and her husband notices she's wearing a diamond necklace. He says, "Where'd you get that necklace?" She replies, "I won it in a raffle at work. Go get my bath ready while I start dinner." The next day, the woman arrives home from work wearing a diamond bracelet. Her husband says, "Where'd you get the bracelet?" She says, "I won it in a raffle at work. Go get my bath ready while I start dinner." The next day, her husband notices she arrives home from work wearing a mink coat. He says, I suppose you won that in a raffle at work." She says, "Yeah, I did. How'd you guess?" "I'll go get my bath ready while I start supper." Later, after supper, she goes to take her bath, and she notices there's like a 1 millimeter of water in the tub. She yells to her husband, "Hey, there's only like a little bit of water in the tub." And he goes, "Yeah, I didn't want you to get your raffle ticket wet." Okay. Remember, we're on Global Irish Radio, so a cop goes to the door and tells the guy, "There's been an accident, sir, and your wife's in the hospital." How is she?" "Very critical." "What's she feckin' complaining about now?" One day, a farmer was tending to his livestock when he noticed one of his cows was completely cross-eyed. He called up a veterinarian friend of his who told him to bring in his cow. The vet took one look at the cow, stuck a tube up the cow's butt, and blew into the tube until the cow's eyes straightened out. The vet charged the farmer $100, and the farmer went home happy. About a week later, the cow's eyes were cross-eyed again, but this time the farmer figured he could probably take care of this himself. So he called the hired hand over, and together they put a tube up the cow's butt. The farmer put his lips to the tube and blew into it. Strangely, nothing happened. So he asked his hired hand to give it a try. The hired hand removed the tube, turned it around and put it in the cow's butt and started to blow. And the farmer said, What are you doing?" "Well, I wasn't going to use the side that you put your lips on." That's all. That's all, folks. Another great night here in Hooli Town. Okay. We'll see. I want to remind everybody. Later this month, actually, June 22nd, the lovely, the talented Michelle McGuire is going to be here. So everybody, please come down. Terrific singer, chanteuse, songwriter. And she's just dynamite. And she's been on our other show before many times. And you will love it. So come on down and give Michelle a great sound. She's from the South Side. But we're hoping to bang the drum on that one. And also we got Eleanor Reardon on the 29th. Haven't booked a guest for the 15th yet. But I want to remind everybody... Oh, I got a story about, if you listen to me for a while, Skinny and I, you are familiar with Skinny Sheehan, I'm sure. I got a great story about Skinny in this week's Irish Echo newspaper. It's online. Go to Irish Echo, Google Irish Echo and Skinny Sheehan, or Irish Echo and Mike Houlihan, by the way, and you'll see all the stories. But primarily the story about Skinny is pretty funny, if I do say so myself. And so we're so glad you were here. Thanks for your support, for listening. And we'll see you later. Bye!
Oh, and I wonder...